The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 10th through Sunday, July 16th, 2023. The commentary for the month of July was written by Manelis Tamayo Megret, who was born in Guantanamo, Cuba. She teaches literature and edits the magazine Luz in Holguin University. In 2013, she joined the Episcopal Church, where she teaches catechism and serves as diocesan secretary for Episcopal Church women in Cuba. The commentary for Monday, July 10th, begins as follows with a passage from the Book of Psalms in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 8. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. God's blessing can reach people in many ways. I serve in a small congregation, yet I have lived unique moments and learned a lot. I will always treasure the opportunity I had to meet Anita. Anita was very active in my congregation. She was always ready to serve, especially by visiting the sick. In 2018, she was diagnosed with a terminal condition. We were all in shock, yet Anita's faith was unflinching. She had comforting words for all who visited her. In 2020, on Maundy Thursday, she passed into the Lord's presence. The doctors said they couldn't figure out how she lived for so long with so much energy, given how advanced the disease was. The doctors did not understand, but we know it was her faith that kept her moving. God was blessing her life, and those blessings were being passed to all of us. And now I'm going to read the full psalm, Psalm number 3, from the Old Testament. It begins, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 10th is, do you have a friend or loved one who is sick? Call or send them an uplifting message. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, July 11th, the feast day of Benedict of Nursia. It begins with a passage from Psalm 11, verse 7. For the Lord is righteous, he delights in righteous deeds, and the just shall see his face. Today we commemorate Benedict of Nursia, a man who delighted in righteous deeds. Benedict is considered the father of Western monasticism. He established a monastic rule that has influenced many Anglican religious orders and been studied by historians, religious people, and others. Despite being very demanding, the rule of Saint Benedict is considered more humane than others. One of Benedict's most remarkable rules relates to hospitality, how guests should be received as if they were Christ himself. Simply put, this rule is about loving our neighbor just as God taught us. If we see Christ in others, we can only receive them with admiration, love, and devotion. Benedict was a righteous man. By doing much good and loving his neighbor, he was a living example of what it means to abide by God's commandments. And now I'll read for you all of Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains? For look, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates the lover of violence. On the wicked he will rain coals of fire and sulfur. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. And the moving forward question for this day is, are there rules in your life, formal or informal, that help you get closer to God? The commentary for Wednesday, July 12th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. This passage comes from the story of the road to Emmaus, at a time when the disciples felt hopeless. That's a feeling we all experience. Life in Cuba has always been complicated for various reasons, but in the last 5 years, we have experienced tragedies that have really shaken us and stolen our hopes. First, there was a plane crash, something unheard of in Cuba. Natural disasters have left many homeless. A cruel financial crisis is driving thousands to migrate. 14 firefighters, some of them teenagers, died in a recent fire, and we are experiencing seemingly endless shortages of basic food items. Sadness and hopelessness are defeating our people, and it's hard to see a way out. Those people on the road to Emmaus did not know that Jesus walked with them and listened to them. Our people, too, feel lonely and empty. More than ever, we need Jesus walking next to us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, July 12th, is to read Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, the passage I just read, and have you had brief encounters with strangers who gave you a new perspective or new insight? The commentary for Thursday, July 13th, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 28. And Peter said to them, You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. We should always remember these words by Peter. I came closer to God 25 years ago in an evangelical church for which I always pray. Unfortunately, they reject other denominations and deem the Catholic faith diabolical. When I started to date my now husband, he was a Roman Catholic, and many in my evangelical church repudiated me, especially the young people. I didn't stop seeing him because I felt his love for God was the same as mine. After getting married, we both abandoned our churches and continued our faith journey in the Episcopal Church, which welcomed us as family. God doesn't love some more than others because of religion, race, sexual orientation, or gender. Many of our perceived differences are subjective or the product of social norms. We are all equally worthy of God's love. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Acts chapter 10, verses 17 through 33. Now while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them. So Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? They answered, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up and saying, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house, when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send, therefore, to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. Therefore I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say.'" And the moving forward suggestion for this week is make plans to work on a project with someone who comes from a background that is totally different from yours. The commentary for Friday, July 14th, begins with a passage from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verse 29. David said, "What have I done now? It was only a question." Here's the commentary. Eliab was mad when he realized that David intended to face Goliath. He believed David's only intention was to show off and gain fame by defeating the Philistine of Gath. Eliab was envious of his younger brother. "My parents taught me to always do my best. At a union meeting at University of Guantanamo, my colleagues nominated me for Best Employee Award in my department. One person raised her hand to object. She said that I had once arrived late to work. She remembered the exact number of minutes I had been late. I was surprised. It turns out she had always received the Best Employee Award. She had been observing me and saw me as a threat. Yet I was not doing my best in order to be recognized. I was just doing what my parents had taught me. Others overruled her objection. Envy makes us selfish. Rejoicing in our neighbor's achievements brings peace to our lives." And now I'm going to read from this full passage of the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verses 17 through 30. "Jesse said to his son David, 'Take for your brothers an ephah of his parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See how your brothers fare, and bring some token from them.' Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David let the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks, and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the Israelites, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. The Israelites said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. The king will greatly enrich the man who kills him, and will give him his daughter and make his family free in Israel.' David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." His eldest brother Eliab heard him talking to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down just to see the battle." David said, "What have I done now?" It was only a question. He turned away from him, moved toward another, and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. And the moving forward question for this Friday, July 14th, is, what is your experience with rivalries between siblings? Are they always destructive or a natural part of life? The commentary for Saturday, July 15th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 17. "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.'" How often we forget that our first mission is to take the gospel to those who do not know it. For many years, the Episcopal Church in Cuba stayed quiet, deep inside Christian homes and temples. Our identity revolved around attending worship and being a good person, but we forgot evangelizing, a factor that had made us strong in the early 1900s. I remember how a few years ago, during an evangelizing campaign in Guantanamo, an old church member told me, "But we don't go door to door like Jehovah's Witnesses." Jesus didn't preach in the temple. It is a good and commendable thing to take God's word to others. In Holguin, we gather in a house that we use as a church. I imagine that when the neighbors found out, they would come to us, but that did not happen. We had to take the word to them and fish for people for the sake of God's kingdom. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 28. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, 'What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee." And the moving forward question for this day is, how comfortable are you with evangelism? What could it look like in your life? And we have reached the end of this week in this program. The commentary for Sunday, July 16th, which is the seventh Sunday of Pentecost, begins with a passage from Genesis 25, verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. In ancient Israel, birthright gave the oldest male child rights of inheritance, along with many other benefits. In his hunger for food, Esau gave those rights away. I once knew a young girl who was born into the church. She was a faithful and active in the congregation, a very happy person. Her good grades allowed her to start working toward a college degree. Yet a young man came into her life, and she began to distance herself from all those good things. She left the church, dropped out of college, and is estranged from her family. Today she is struggling, unemployed, and a victim of spousal abuse. This friend was seduced by the lure of fleeting pleasures. Sadly, in the process, she lost a treasure, a life full of peace. And I'm going to read from another Old Testament passage for this Sunday, the seventh week of Pentecost. It's from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And the moving forward question for this day, do you need to reorganize the priorities in your life? Take some time to reassess. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.